Welcome to the Three Wine Guys with Terry, Steve-O, and Scott. I'm Dex Harrington. Today's show will be a special edition. This should be a smashing show. Gentlemen, commence the whining.
And welcome to Three Wine Guys. This is our Roussan podcast. I think the first time we're ever doing Roussan.
Yeah, this is Terry here.
And Scott here.
Steve-O.
And I'm actually really excited. This is one of my favorite grapes as far as white wine goes. So this is one that we just kind of fell into and decided to do over the last couple of weeks. I'm really excited.
And I think it's one of the wines that overlooked, maybe, in the white wine space, maybe?
Definitely picking up steam domestically.
Yeah, domestically in the States it is, but as far as France, I believe it's on the decline.
It is on the decline. And if any reason to, you know, to jump on this bandwagon, the fact that the French are, you know.
I did not like this.
I did not like this wine. Give it to the Medicaid.
Yeah.
It is a sexy wine, though.
It's really sexy.
Oh, well, if it's good, it's good.
The French would like this sexy wine.
Yeah, but instead they blow their nose at it.
They're no good no more.
Well, Monty Python reference. I was going to say that in the Rhone Valley, where it's originally from, it's being grown less. They're actually planting more Marsan and they're planting less Roussan. But in the Vin de Pays area in Languedoc, you know, in south of France and southwest, they are planting quite a bit of this.
Yeah.
So I should say it's not decreasing in all of France. It's decreasing in its regional area.
Okay.
So let's talk about that. Okay. So this is originally a Rhone varietal in France. So in the Rhone, in southern Rhone, the main white grape is Grenache Blanc. Believe it or not, Grenache or Grenache Blanc. In the northern Rhone, the three main grape varieties are Viognier, which we have covered,
mm-hmm.
and then Roussan and Marsan. And often Roussan and Marsan, they are blended. And they're basically in northern Rhone, in the Coindru region, it's all Viognier. But in Hermitage, basically it's typically blended. So let's talk about that for a reason, because a lot of times people think that one, they're blended because the wines kind of help each other, if you will. Like one wine is very flat and low acid, the other is very lean and high acid. That's really not the case. Marsan and Roussan are pretty similar, but the reason why Marsan is more widely planted is that Marsan is a hardier grape. If they both reach their phenolic peak, if they both ripen, adequately, Marsan and they're from the same area, Marsan will never attain the greatness that Roussan will.
Word.
Good to know.
Okay. So a lot of times people think that they're blended because, like I said, that they complement each other. That's really not always the case. A lot of times it's just because they didn't have enough Roussan that made it. So
that's another thing about Roussan. It's a very difficult grape to grow, isn't it?
It is. Well, in France it is. They're having much better luck with it in Australia, in America, in California.
Yeah, Torbrek has a Roussan.
Yeah, Darrenberg does too, but it's not. Yes. I don't think you can get it here. The spiders.
Yeah, the Torbrek you can.
Yeah. Torbrek you can.
That you have to search for. But as far as American wines, I mean, I could think of like 10 off the top of my head that we're not reviewing that are just amazing that I'll, you know, babble about.
Like the Stoltman.
Yeah, the Stoltman, yeah. The Laventure, the Albane, Tablas Creek. Turley.
Tablas Creek is just a good one.
So we can talk about, and we'll get to Tablas Creek in a second, because they're owned by the Perrin family, which owns Chateau Beaucastle.
Yes.
Obviously, in the Rhone. So anyway, so as far as Roussan, let's kind of talk about, you know, about the grape and what to look for. You know, the Steve-O Pod Gem.
Pod Gem. Do you want Pod Gem to be like a jingle? Pod Gem, Pod Gem. Or do you just want Pod Gem?
Pod Gem.
Or more masculine Pod Gem.
Pod Gem. I think you need like the Thunderballs. Do you think?
Sure.
Pajam. I know. What we're talking about? Yeah.
I like it. I like it more of the guys from, you know, Take Me Down to Funky Town. Woohoo! That type of thing. You know, I give me like, you know, like the Platters or something in the background.
Oh,
Pajam, 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 as opposed to Pajam. You know. Anyway, yeah. That's just me. Sorry.
And Pajam is,
and you don't want to. Well, it's just it's a gem in a podcast.
It's like sticking another feather in your cap, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. So, similar to Viognier, this wine, when it's done well, it can be explosively aromatic in a good way. I don't mean it's going to, you're going to smell it in your nose, your nasal cavity.
You can smell it.
Your nasal cavities are going to blow up. But, you know, just like I said, the wine itself, typically it'll bring a lot of aromatic, or a lot of aromatics, and it'll have a blend of like stone fruit, such as apricot and pear and those types of things, along with a big floral quality. Typically, Roussanne tends to be, and not always the case, it actually oaks fairly well. Mm-hmm. So it can take, you know, a bit of oak, not like Chardonnay, but it does oak well, and it does tend to, like I said, marry.
And I think of it as like it's a nice balance between Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc.
I agree. Well, I think it's a great balance between like a fat, rich, buttery California Sauvignon Blanc. I'm sorry.
Chardonnay. Hello.
Chardonnay, as opposed to like a regular, typical like Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
But what I will say about this is that it never really has the grapefruity aspect of Sauvignon Blanc. And that's something I'll say is key.
Well, I was saying more along the citrus-wise.
Well, I was going to say that with Viognier, because people always ask me, Viognier to me will, from a citrus standpoint, will be more grapefruity. Mm-hmm. It will also have that apricot, peach type characteristic.
They're like white pepper. Yeah.
Yeah, and they both have spice, they both have stone fruit, and they both have citrus. But the one thing about Viognier is that Viognier, to me, will be more grapefruity in its citrus, whereas to me, Roussanne tends to be more like tangerine and orange, and in some cases like, you know, like ripe lemon, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's not quite as just naturally as citrused as Viognier. Also, Viognier to me can be a little bit more on the floral side. Roussanne to me has a little more of that apricot and real, you know, generally speaking, has a lot more of that honeysuckle aspect to it as well.
You know, as I'm not really would consider myself a white wine drinker still. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't consider myself one either.
But of the white wines that I appreciate most are probably Viognier and Roussanne.
Well, and you know, and that's not a surprise, because even though they have citrus components to them, they are considered to be lower acid wines.
Yes.
Okay. But they are not usually overly oaked, but they tend to be higher in alcohol than Chardonnay, generally speaking.
They
tend not to have some of that green apple type aspect, and they have more of that peach and apricot type flavor characteristics, which is different from Chardonnay, the flavor profiles.
Word.
Okay. So that being said, we have
We have four tonight. Depending on when you're listening to us.
Yeah, yes. Four.
Yes. We've got two from Cali. Going back to Cali.
One from Washington State.
Back to Cali. That's when Biggie got his cap in his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Signed by Tupac.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
One from Washington State and then one from France.
Les Francs.
And should we go into the first one? The first one's a winery called White Heron Cellars, H-E-R-O-N. They were established, back in 1986. They started out mainly doing Pinot Noir and dry Rieslings. And back in 91, they started to plant Syrah and Roussanne. And the winery's main focus is red wine. So this is one of the few white wines that they actually do. We're doing a 2004. They already have 2005 and 2006 on their website. So the bottle that I bought must have been sitting on the shelves at this wine shop.
I would say, yeah, based on the
it being
result.
04. Yeah. Yeah, the results, which we'll get into. But it's about $15 a bottle, so it's not going to break the bank.
Well, you know, with high-end Roussan, they, it, you know...
You want to drink it quick?
No. It's quite age worthy, 5 to 10 years.
So I have no patience. The minute I get it, I drink it.
Right. But I'm just saying. So I've never had an old Roussan. Good Roussan.
This is the oldest I've ever had. The fact that it's 08 now.
Yeah.
And it's an 04 that we're drinking.
Right.
Like right now, I've just got from Copain the 2006.
Right.
And I only have one of those left.
Wow.
Same thing with the Laventure.
Damn good.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, yeah.
So, enough said about White Hair and their website. Okay, but again, it has been, a lot of the areas haven't been updated in a while, so they could work on that. But what'd you guys get? Oh, it's from Columbia Valley.
Columbia Valley, Washington.
Washington State.
So this was our Washington Roussan.
Not D.C., huh?
No.
Do they make wine in D.C.?
Probably wine.
Jefferson, yeah.
They Thunderbird. They make Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, Boone's Farm.
Yeah, no, Thunderbird, Night Train.
Night Train.
Yeah.
I don't think I recall Marian, ever Marian, seeing
Marion Barry's big on them.
Some cold cock.
Right.
Yeah. Or, the crack pot.
It wouldn't be the White Heron. It would be the White Heroin. So.
Here we go.
Right. I was just about to say
the
heroin, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny that the four wines, typically like these wines range in color from like apple cider to like platinum gold.
Yeah.
And this was like apple cider. It had almost a dullness to it. You know, as you look at it, it almost looks kind of dull. It almost looks like there's no real brightness to it. It's like a dull like yellow gold as far as the look of the wine. And on the nose, it had apricot. It had like some honeysuckle, but of almost like a lemon pledge type aspect.
I think it was the nose is muted though. I don't know if you got that.
I did get minerality in it though.
The minerality was like the strong point there.
That was the main thing that I got. That lime and a little bit of grass.
I like the rock.
Yeah,
it smelled like the rock.
But the reason why I wanted to mention the kind of lemon pledge aspect to it is that to me this was. As soon as it hit the palate, this was like the lemon pledge without the lemon. I mean, you know, this wine was, there was a lot on the nose and just there was no fruit on the palate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. I thought it was tart and initially had a little bit of a fizzy aspect to it.
Well, the wine to me seemed a bit oxidized and almost kind of a sherried type characteristic to it as well.
So it's like incomplete, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a wine.
Kind of like income.
Yeah.
Complete.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't even think it's fair to rate this wine because this is a wine that shouldn't be drunk. I mean, if you bought it,
Start
you never know the conditions where, you know, it could have been, cooked in a truck before they got it.
Let me just say this. The winemaker for the last wine that we're going to talk about, you know, basically says that if you store his wines properly, he says that they'll be good for at least 5 years. You know, if stored,
so that's
stored
a good
properly.
That's a good note right there. If you see a Roussan and it's older than 5 years old and it's in a wine shop, or if it's older than 3 or 4 years old, probably you don't want to buy it.
Yes.
You want to stick to the newer ones in the wine shops.
Yeah. I would say, you know.
And age them yourself or?
Yeah.
You know,
you know, 2 to 3, you know, 2 to 3 years within the vintage.
Put it in the cabinet next to the stove.
Yeah, so like right now, you should be looking at like
some
05s, maybe some. But if it's very good and very expensive, and you have some deep pockets, and it's from a very very reputable producer, it might be something worth trying. If it's been stored properly, if it's been sitting on it, and it's got dust on it, it's been standing upright, and it's right next to the heater, you know.
Yeah, this is
buyer beware.
This is by the front door of the wine shop.
Right, exactly.
So this
it was
is
a doorstop. This was the doorstop.
Doorstop, yeah, pretty close to it.
Yeah, to the gas station bathroom.
So for the 2004 White Heron Cellars,
I think you got to say pass.
First of all,
pass on it.
I just want to say that I had nothing good to say about this wine.
No, me either.
I don't want to jump on it and kill these guys. I'm just saying that this wine was this was not
Palmasan.
This is not Palmasan. This was a passed out. This is a passed out. What's his name? Orson Welles.
Orson Welles?
This is Orson Welles passed out. We will sell no wine before it's time. Well, yeah, you definitely passed. You missed the butt on this one because
this shouldn't be sold.
Yeah, I'd go back and punch the person in the face as hard as I could.
Oh, jeez. Well, the next wine is from Domaine de Lancerre.
I'm thinking Domaine de Lancerre.
Lancerre. Yeah, it's spelled, Domaine is obviously Domaine, and then D, and then L-A-N-C-Y-R-E.
L-A-N.
And I was able to, yeah, I was able to locate their website for this from the distributor's website as well, which they have on the back of the bottle. Yet very little information provided by either of them. The website, I did babblefish it, so I did a conversion of French to English. And you know what? The conversion wasn't so good. Basically, what I gathered from this is that it's currently under the same ownership since 1970, which is owned by the Durand and the Valentine family. They at that time they purchased the buildings and the facilities there, including the chateau itself. It was originally created in 1550, and so they've been creating wine there ever since.
Wow.
They have 15 hectares of land.
Yep.
And that's about
it. That's like a hectare is almost like an acre and a half.
So this is pretty small then.
So like, yeah, I mean.
15 acres is.
Yeah, it's like 20, 25 acres. Yeah, small.
So that's basically the gist of it. And they're located, most importantly, in the Languedoc.
The Languedoc, yeah, exactly. So basically south of France, southeast of Languedoc, so kind of near Montpellier.
And a little interrupt here, you wouldn't know that from the bottle. It doesn't mention that whatsoever. So we're surfing the internet and everything, and Steve O'Paul's in the book. God, I was right.
Hey, you found it where it was at, you know. Yeah. I mean, I
was looking at this. It was really funny.
I have two pages, basically, of conversion from it, and it was like... They talk about the wind. They talk about the Holy Peak Wolf, which is a part of this mountain range they're a part of.
Let's talk a little bit about the area. So this is higher elevation, and so this Roussan, higher elevation and different growing conditions from like the Rhone, whereas Rhone would tend to be a little more, almost, I don't want to say valley fruit, but it's definitely hotter and drier in the Rhone. So this wine, it tends to be cooler in the evenings. And so these wines that from this area tend to be crisper. They tend to be crisper and less fat and rich. And this wine, I think, really kind of followed suit because this was the most citrus, almost a limey quality to it. As opposed to the others. That also being said, it also had the most floral aspect to it as well.
Yeah, Scott mentioned this is the most pretty nose of all of them.
This was the prettiest.
It was pretty.
Yeah, and it does definitely have like a lot of floralness to the nose.
I mean, it was like in a little pink dress and had a bow. I mean, it was pretty.
She was cute.
Yeah.
I put down flowers, perfume. I thought that was very perfumed in its nature. Really good, though.
This had a real gold type. Almost like a yellow gold type aspect quality to it, and it had a day brightness to it as well. With the first wine was kind of dull and flat.
One is sparkly.
This one had a much more brightness to it. As far as the nose, it had citrus. It had a sort of an apricot type aspect to it, and a real floral quality to it.
Yeah,
I get
the floral, and almost like it made me think of like a sugary type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smell to it.
Also, the wine was really bright, a real bright Christmas minerality really came out. I would say that this wine would probably see a little bit of oak, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't fermented in stainless steel.
Either that or, neutral. Or something. Yeah.
So, I'll say this is that there was a real spice quality to the wine as well, and it was very long on the finish, surprisingly. Anyway, so you guys go ahead and continue with your notes on that.
Flowers, perfume, citrus on the nose. The taste, again, the citrus came through. It had a little liminess to it, a little like nuttiness. I got like a nut quality to it.
So do you want to hear something really, really important, the reason why Steve always says stone fruit?
Yeah.
So you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is your pod gem of the day.
Pod gem.
We talk about peaches and apricots. You know, they're talking about stone fruit because they have those pits or stones. Particularly in certain cases, it's easier for bakers to get the stones of peaches or apricots than it is for them to get like fresh or good almonds. So a lot of times, what they do is they actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Not smash, crush the pits, and because so a lot of times when they're making certain in bakery, if you can see certain products, they'll actually say it'll say apricot or it'll say peach, but it isn't the fruit; it's the actual pit.
The pit,
because it brings like an almond type characteristic to it. Hmm. So when you say typically like a wine has a peach characteristic or an apricot characteristic, many times it will also have an almond type characteristic to it as well.
That's a pod gem if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, pod gem. We need some like pod gem.
Yeah, you guys work on that.
I got to figure out how to do the zingers. I think there's like a button I could hit. Just go one button, go boo, like zinger. Yeah. Like pod gem.
Sure.
Right.
We could do futuristic or we could do like classic, like
pulverize. That's what I was thinking. They pulverize the pits.
Pumice?
Yeah.
Yes. Not pumice. They pulverize.
I was thinking of my feet, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Lava soap. I used to love lava soap. Oh, lava soap when I was a kid with pumice.
Yeah, until you wash certain parts, then you hate it. Sorry.
Well, you should have been warned. It was still lava just says hand soap. Oh. Anyway.
All right. Oh, we're still talking about the wine.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I got a lot of the same qualities. The minerality, the nuts. I got like the nuts. It's medium to light bodied. The finish to me, I got the herbalness, and then I also got a little bit of that pepper.
Yeah, the spice was definitely.
And I thought it was a nice sort
of... I thought it had really nice acids in it, even in the finish.
Oh, the acidity was great in this really wine. Balanced. And it was a little warming, I think. I don't know what the heat alcohol content is.
To me, the wine's a little bit lean, but it's long. Yeah. So I guess what I want to say is that for people who like bigger, fatter, richer type wines and looking for that type of Roussan, this is not their cup of tea.
No.
But like I said, I mean, but this is, I think, a great summer type. And also, I think it's a very good food Roussan.
Oh, I see this with like seafood.
I had no problem giving this wine a B.
If at $20, I'd give it a B as well.
Yeah, yeah. B plus. I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that moves on to our third wine of the night, which is from
Maryland.
Maryland Remark Winery. And it's a winery owned by a couple, Joel Bernstein and Maryland Remark. Joel Bernstein was a San Francisco
musician?
No, actually a Pacific Stock Exchange broker.
Huh.
And had decided midlife he's going to change careers and become a winemaker.
What a shocker.
And decided to do two things. He has his two-step process, get great grapes and don't screw it up. So traveled to France, was amazed at the various Rhone Valley regions, and decided to start growing everything from Roussan to all the grapes that are grown there. This wine is from Monterey County, and it's French oak, and about, I believe it's just under 300 cases or so. And it just came out this past summer. So this is the
This is a new wine.
Oh, no, I take it back. This must have come out last year because this is an 05 vintage.
The 06 has just come out.
Right. 06 should be on the shelves also.
Got it.
So, and the price on this is $20 to $25.
You know, Monterey is sort of cool,
Monterey is very cool.
I mean, beautiful place. I mean, very expensive real estate, I would assume.
Yeah, but not like Carmel or anything. But what I was going to say is that, I mean, if the wine chick and Steve went to California next year, for a wine trip, I think we would definitely do Central Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get a lot of bang for the buck.
Paso, Robles.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Man.
Linicolodo, Stoltman, I'd love to go there.
Yeah.
Love to go there.
I bet it's not as picturesque as.
Who knows?
You never know.
Could be if you're drinking enough of that wine, anything's picturesque.
To me, this wine didn't really scream to me with more of an apricot. I really got that stone fruit. It was like, to me, it was almost like a pear cider. As far as the flavors of the wine, and also it was quite vanillaed. I'm just saying from the nose, to me it was really more of like a dense pear, almost like a pear liqueur.
Right, that came out after a while. When we first opened it, my first initial whiff was wet minerals. And it was really
wet rocks.
Yeah, wet rocks.
I didn't even get any of the fruit on it.
Well, okay, so I was busy taking care of stuff. So I came back probably 15 minutes later. So as soon as I got to it, it was already like a, like I said, on the nose, it got like a pear liqueur and like a vanilla like component to it.
And I threw out that soy sauce thing.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Steve, or no?
I did. A little bit, yeah.
It's like miso, soy, like Asian spice.
That was a good, like, kind of, it was open for about, what, 20 minutes or so?
It was there for a little while.
Oh, man, it was crazy how much it smelled like soy sauce.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're a genius, I smell it.
I know, but it, yeah. But you know what? I don't think you go into it now, it's like it's not there anymore. Yeah. So.
The spice really came through on this, and to me, the spice is more almost like a cinnamon nutmeg. Mm-hmm. Not so much of a pepper. But more of a cinnamon nutmeg type characteristic.
It got like honeyed herbalness to it. It's like a Ricola.
Yeah,
and
herbal.
Yeah, like a Ricola. Yeah, definitely. This to
Ricola.
This was a little more medium to full bodied for a white. Also really long in the finish and the spice really drawn out. To me, the main difference between this and the previous wine, the French wine, is that this to me was a little bit, I guess, richer, if you will. It wasn't as lean, wasn't as citrus as the first. This was definitely more fruit, less citrus.
I think we really placed them, like the order we went in, we really weren't sure, so we just went by price.
Yeah, by price.
And I think it was a very nice transition that we went through, because this is sort of in between the last one we're going to do and the next one, so, or the one we did previous. So.
Yeah, this didn't stand out as anything crazy good. I do have one more bottle of this at home, and I'm not upset about it. I mean, I would, you know, had it been two bottles of the first one, I really would have been upset.
Right.
But I'm kind of, for 20 bucks, You know, it didn't knock my socks off, but...
It didn't stand out in any particular way. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was just,
it was there.
It was there. And it was, we were still drinking it, you know, so, or at least I am.
I mean, for me, would I buy it again? No, but seeing I have it, would I drink it? Yeah. And I'm not going to be down about it when I go to drink it, but I'd give it a C+.
Yeah, I did C+, B- there, that range.
Yeah, I'm
lackluster. I don't know what to describe it. It's not bad either.
I thought it was pretty solid. I mean, there's.
But that's why I want the C+ route, because would I actively go out and buy it if I see it on the shelf?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I was kind of in the B- range. But I guess it would depend. I mean, if this was 17, 18 bucks, it'd probably be closer to B. You know, if this is closer to 25, probably closer to C+. So, it's not that good. I thought it was pleasant. I thought it was enjoyable. I liked it. It didn't knock my socks off. But I thought it was decent. It was decent.
No, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't really, like, outstandingly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was sexy, but it wasn't that sexy.
Right.
Right, we move on.
Speaking of sexy, Steve-O, you brought the coupe?
The coupe.
And this is one I've had a bunch.
Well, we had one Friday night.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, after we already had a couple reds.
Yeah.
And it, so.
And it held up with it.
Oh, yeah, it did.
We had the Chila Gilio.
Chila Gilio.
You did have that other. Whatever. Now, I'm tired of saying it so many times. The Giolo. The Chile Giolo. Anyway, the coupe, this is 100% Roussanne, and this is grown on the west-facing hillside of Bien Nacido Vineyard. And Bien Nacido Vineyard is one of the largest, I believe it might be the largest, it's one of the three largest privately owned vineyards in California. This is, there's a five-acre block of Roussanne, and it's planted exclusively for coupe.
Wow, nice.
And it was planted to the Tablas Creek clone.
Oh, cool.
So basically, Tablas Creek, which is the American version of Chateau Beaucastle, owned by the parent family. So initially, this was planted by the parent family. Coupe, they make Rhone varietals and they make Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. And this every year, this is typically Bob Lindquist, the winemaker. This is his favorite wine.
Which is always a good sign.
No kidding. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. What kind of sets this different is that basically when you talk to other people, Bob Lindquist has a real ability to get particularly good barrels out of Burgundy. So he uses French oak. But they say that when they talk to other people, is that he has a real knack for getting the best barrels. And for after he buys his barrels, his favorite barrels are he sets aside for this wine, in addition to a Syrah, whatever. This is basically his
and then
baby.
He likes them so much he lives in them for a day.
Yes, exactly. But I was going to say is that what makes this kind of unique is that, you know how we talked about number two, the number two wine, and how it was so citrus and so lean. We're talking about how not my number two.
Like, wow.
Gross, Steve-O.
Yes, sorry.
Tangible.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And by the way, and nobody wants to talk about that less than me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Poop.
But that's always fun. There's nothing wrong with being a little poopy.
Wow. Classy.
You know what? My son, one day it's going to be poop. Yeah. He's going to be talking about poop a lot.
Yeah.
He's only 10 months old, but the poop is a big deal when you're a kid. It's a big deal when you get older.
Yeah, there's a book, Everybody Poops.
Yeah.
It's a very famous
Zebras,
book.
Zebras, I've seen it. I've read it and died laughing the first time I read it. Oh, that's everyone great. Poops. Because it shows the poop like in midair.
Oh, yeah.
Zebra and like a...
It's a great book.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right.
Okay.
I think I should keep that in or no?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
A little poop in there.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. This particular vintage had a little bit more higher acidity than usual. So in this particular, the 05 Roussan, you'll notice that it wasn't as fat as the 04. His wine's never really fat because it's not really over the top. But
it's fat, but with the pH.
Exactly. So speaking of that, his Viognier is about 13.5% alcohol. The Roussan is about 14.5% alcohol. Mm-hmm. So a bigger, fuller, richer wine. Also, what's interesting is that after he picks the grapes, chilled overnight, and then they're pressed, and then they go right to barrel. And they actually barrel ferment. So they don't ferment in stainless steel.
Cool.
They ferment in that great oak. And it basically, you know, goes through a fully, you know, goes through the maloactic to give that additional richness. And a lot of white wines, they'll go on the lees, they'll be on the lees or the yeasts for, you know, several months. This actually goes through, this actually is aged on a lees for a full year. And then after that it's returned back to barrel again for four more months. So this has a lot of oak integration into the wine.
There's a butteriness to it a little bit, I think.
Yeah. He only made about 650 cases of this wine. And it was bottled. It didn't go through any filtration at all. So it has a little bit of almost like a cloudiness, a murkiness about it. This is a terrific Roussan.
Weren't you mentioning that this was... this is one of the first ones made?
No, Coupe produced the very first Marsan,
I'm sorry. Okay.
Ever in the U.S.
Okay.
So, but the Roussan, they were like second or third.
Yeah, interesting.
Right from the color, you can just tell this had a platinum gold coloring to it, where the other ones were all really yellow gold. You can just look at that; it's more of a platinum.
Well, you know, sometimes when you look at the Chardonnays and you can look at the color and get an idea of how much oak integration is in there, and this by far had the most oak in it, but yet it didn't look like it.
No,
it didn't look like it at all. It doesn't look over yellowed or it looks sort of has a nice bright appearance to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I mentioned before, because of the conditions, this year the 05 had a little higher acidity.
Yeah.
And
the 04 was definitely a better vintage taste wise with the coupe, but this is still, if you see, like I was saying before, if you see coupe, Copain, Laventure, any of those are. You're always going to get a good bottle.
But he's held back the 06. He's still releasing. I mean, the 05.
Right.
He hasn't even released the 06 yet.
This is the 05, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He hasn't released the 06 yet.
Right.
And he even recommends that this wine could actually be decanted. Just to help it come around. And but like I said, he also thinks that this wine will age very, very well. Because of that acidity and the brightness.
Not my house.
No, you guess right. It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. But this wine is very, very complex.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on the nose, apricot, pear. I got tangerine oil, vanilla spice.
Great citrus aspects too.
Yeah,
yeah. Put down orange peel, mineral. Yeah, mineral oiliness. Like a smell like an oiliness. Like petrol, not petrol, but oiliness to it.
Well, here's what's interesting about this. Is that you guys know what botrytis is?
I had it, and a little penicillin cleared it up.
Yeah, some rash.
Are you making
cream.
Fun of me?
Anyway, I swear I didn't tell him.
That was I thought it was high school. Anyway, botrytis is called noble rot. You guys know when you have a sauterne. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. The noble rot, yeah, which sure. is, yes, you know, yes. I know you got that going on.
Yeah.
Yes, it is noble, too.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what's interesting is that in this vintage, about 15% of the grapes that were picked had a dry botrytis going. So in the botrytis is that a fungus that attacks the grape that causes them to shrivel, gives them a concentration, but it also gives them a bit of an almost kind of a... I guess an earthiness, if you will. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I mean, it brings a lot of additional complexity to this particular wine. So, I mean, this one has a nuttiness about it. It has a citrus, a real strong citrus component to it.
I think the oak, though, is really driving this wine.
The oak really
way,
comes through,
so
but you
it
know
it softens and rounds the wine.
It does. To me, I wrote down just, I know, I put it seamless. This wine is seamless. Mm-hmm. It's so well integrated. Between, you know, like I said, all aspects of it, between the citrus and the fruit and the oak, it really all kind of comes. Number two is a really pleasantly nice wine, but it was very almost staccatoed, you know. It was
the citrus and acid.
It was very. It wasn't. I mean, it was very kind of linear. It was just kind of, okay. Here's the spice. I get the citrus. I get a little bit of fruit. And I get a little bit of spice. Yeah. With the coupe, you're getting it on each sip. You're getting aspects of that wine. And to me, a beautiful wine. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better Roussanne. Am I saying it's the best Roussanne in America? No, but I'm saying is that you'd be very hard-pressed to find.
From an availability standpoint, this probably has, of all the ones we've done, the most availability, I would think.
I don't know. I mean, like Stoltman and some of the others, the Lavignon, the Lavignon.
That's a great bottle.
That's great. I mean, to me, you know, you're talking anywhere from $30 to $40 for this wine.
For that range.
But like I said, I mean... I don't know. To me, this is an A Roussanne.
If you don't drink whites or if you don't drink Roussannes, this is one to buy and to try it, and it might turn you. You know,
it might
turn you to that direction. And I think that's like we're slowly getting to that white direction, and Roussanne is like sort of getting us there.
Yeah, I've whenever I see a Roussanne, I buy it, and that's been for really the last 2.5 years or so.
You know, one thing I don't think you mentioned, Steve, with this wine, this is the first one I really got the orange peel in it. I got a lot of orange in it. And,
I said tangerine oil.
And I put down, like mango. Like it had a little tropicality-ness to it. And it was so round at the end. Like this, it wasn't citrus. It was more tropical. That's a great bottle of wine.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, it had that like almost like a sandalwood quality about it. You know, had like a, like I said, put tangerine oil. Had like apricot pear. And it had a little bit of the fennel kind of aspect.
Well, it reminds me a lot of those wines where you when you drink it and you think in your mind it's going to go in one direction and then it doesn't because I think initially you get a lot of this sort of oakiness to it and butteriness, but then at the end this acidity wipes up and removes
again. It's like sometimes you think to yourself, oh my god, this is like a Sauvignon Blanc, it's really citrus. Then you think, oh my god, this is like a Chardonnay, it's really really rich and really oaked.
Well, it has
they keep balancing each other out constantly, and while you're getting there, you're getting this little like subtle myriad of flavors
like a custard like quality to it,
like a lemon meringue almost.
Yeah, it's like a custardy, like the smoothing. It's great stuff though.
Yeah.
That's enough, all right?
Yeah. I think by far that's the wine of the night.
Yeah.
The coupe.
Yeah, so I guess we should...
Followed up with the wine that you'd brought, too.
Yeah.
It was the two highlights.
The one you can't
remember. Oh, we should go over the wines. The first one was the White Heron, which was past its prime and really doesn't even deserve
Palmasand.
Yeah, doesn't deserve a grade.
No.
Number two, Ter?
Is Domaine de Lancerre, or L-A-N-C-Y-R-E. We might be butchering
C-Y.
It.
C-Y. R E.
Yes. L A N C Y R E.
Lancerie?
Lancerie, maybe?
Lancerie.
Lancerre.
Yeah. Lancerre.
It's a 2006 the Roussan. It says Roussan on the label, and it's from Languedoc. $20. I think we were consensus B.
Yeah.
To buy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that notably was more citrus. Right. So, all right.
Number three was the
Manny Remark.
Manny Remark. No, Marilyn Remark, yeah. From Monterey County. This, you should be able to find this $20-$25 a bottle, depending on where you get it. And this is the 05 vintage. And it didn't do much for me.
Well, it was C+.
Yeah, C+. You guys.
C is satisfactory. And this, to me, was, I mean, C+ is, there's nothing wrong with C+. It's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good.
I thought it was just a little thin in complexity.
Yeah. I mean, for their initial, you know, I mean, you know, Bob Lindquist at Coupe has been doing Roussan for years. So, I mean, this is the Gist guy's first foray. So.
Oh, no, they've been doing this for a while.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
I thought they've been doing it for like 2 or 3 years or something.
Hold on.
That doesn't matter. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was pretty decent. I mean, so I had no problems with it.
And our final one was from Steve-O, and it was the
Coupe. The Bien Nacido, the Hillside Estate.
2005.
Roussan.
Damn good.
I give that a B+, A-. I don't know.
I completely agree, B+, A-. I mean, it's a great bottle of wine.
It was everything that I wanted in Roussans. And when we first started drinking this evening, I was like, I didn't really want that. I really wanted this. Then I got the citrus from the second one, and I sort of liked that. I wanted this, I wanted all these flavors combined, and we got it at the end. I felt like it. Yeah. Word up.
Well, keep your questions, comments. We are going to be doing a Q&A soon.
Yeah, and you know what? And the one thing we have been getting a few voicemails.
Yeah.
But probably more. And I think the next show I'm going to include some.
I don't have the number in front of me either.
I know. Well, it's on our website. I'll include that in our next podcast. Yeah, or the Q&A, or just maybe every week we'll have a listener's comments.
Sure.
So what number should they call?
I don't have it. 312...
3wineguys.com.
Yeah. It's on our website, 3wineguys.com, 3winehumps.com, 3winedouchebags.com. It'll get you there. So,
yeah, I mean, we don't get that much. Or you can search 3wineguys on if you have a Twitter account. I mean, a Skype account.
Right. Yeah, that's on there, but that's the word 3, I believe.
Yeah, it is 3 altogether. So,
any questions, comments, info at 3wineguys.com, and our website, of course, is 3wineguys.com. So thanks for listening. Cheers.
Keep whining.
Employco presents Great Moments in Freedom.
Paul, it's almost midnight.
I know, Navi, but the boys in the shop want me to get a new health insurance plan with better rates.
Oh.
I think I heard them talking about throwing me into the harbour yesterday. Mm. And that 401k plan is no picnic in the glen, you know.
But the redcoats are coming and you've got to warn the other colonists. Please hurry.
But the tax forms, the king's people have been on my back for weeks. My midnight ride will have to wait.
Now, dearie, go saddle up your horse. I'll just call those patriots over at Employco in the morning. They handle employee benefits, human resources, health insurance for any size shop so you can do what you do best.
Right, Employco it is. What a great moment in freedom. You didn't happen to see how many lanterns were in the church tower, did you?
Oh, my word, can you believe our country's fate is resting on this man's shoulders?
Well, I'm off, dearie. Don't forget to call Employco. The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming.
Great moments in freedom from Employco. Call us at 800-459-9800 and give yourself the freedom to succeed. Call 800-459-9800 or visit employco.com.